Our first reading today is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, and chapter 29, verse 25. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of others lays a snare, but one who trusts in the Lord is secure. Our second scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because he is so as we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Rise if you are able, and join us in singing "Take Time to Be Holy," 395 in the Red Hymnal.
Be seated.
A true disciple is somebody that has denied themselves, taken up their cross, which speaks death to their personal agendas, and follow Jesus. See, if you lack the fear of God, you're going to get out of sync with what God's doing. Because the fear of the Lord is the key to wisdom. You're going to serve who you fear. If you fear man, you're going to end up serving and obeying man. If you fear God, you're going to serve God. I pray that you would be a great force of righteousness, shining brightly in these last days to the world of influence that God has called you to.
Well, good morning, church. We gather in the name and the Spirit of the risen Christ. His Spirit lives and stirs among us right here, right now. I was just going back to, I don't know if you remember your baptism. A lot of us might have been small as we were baptized. But baptism is always a time when we affirm or reaffirm our faith, isn't it? Where we reconnect with who we are and the power that we have living under the power of the risen Christ. Let's pray. O powerful God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations on each of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. You, God, are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. Amen. So have you heard about the bride? She was planning her wedding. She was pretty nervous, and she was at the point where she was actually getting consumed by her nervousness, her fear about this whole process. She decided to go and attack her fear head on. So she went to Scripture, and she rested in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. It was a source of strength and comfort for her. It would be perfect for the wedding cake. So they called the caterer, they made the arrangements, it wasn't a problem, and about a week before the wedding, the caterer called her back and said, "You know, are you sure you want this scripture on your wedding cake?" The bride confirmed that, yes, that was the scripture she wanted. The wedding day came, the wedding was beautiful, the reception looked great, and then they saw it was the cake. Because emblazoned across the cake was John 4:18. And friends, John 4:18 is not the same as 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out our fear." And John 4:18, on the other hand, says, "You've had 5 husbands, and the guy you're living with isn't your husband." Perfect love drives out fear. Or 5 husbands plus 1. My guess is the bride would have been horrified at the reception, but hopefully now that it's later, she could have looked back on the goof and hopefully laugh. Perfect love drives out fear. This morning, let's wrestle with this idea of fear. Let's think about the fear of the Lord. And let's a little bit touch on our own fear. We might be able to say that the fear of God can be placed into 2 categories. First, in some scripture, the fear of God can mean we're scared, we're afraid of falling short, we don't want to be judged harshly. I guess maybe if we cut to the chase of it, we might say this fear of God is about judgment, or if brass tacks, heaven and hell. And then there's the second type of fear of God. In a lot of scripture, this fear of God means a holy respect, an overwhelming awe. This fear of God means we worship God and no one or nothing else. This is what Jesus was talking about in the greatest commandment, to love God with everything you have, to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. This kind of love develops into a healthy fear. This kind of perfect love drives out the fear of the world. This kind of perfect love drives out the fear of the world that has, well, it doesn't have any eternal value. The fear of the Lord, the fear that is holy and healthy and in awe of God. Well, Willimon writes that this kind of fear can actually, from our humanity standpoint, it can actually feel a little scary too. In the book of Hebrews, for example, in the Common English Bible translation, Hebrews 10 can be translated saying it's scary to fall into the hands of the living God. It's scary to fall into the hands of the living God. We're talking about worship. We're talking about worship of God that is so powerful that it can unnerve you. We're talking about worship where we come to worship and we fall into the hands of the living God. How are you doing this morning? Do you feel like you're falling into the hands of the living God? Do we, as the body of Christ, do we dare to worship together, excited, maybe even a little nervous because, well, do we dare to try to keep it together because we absolutely, positively know that the living God is right here among us? And we're here to meet the living God. that we're here to fall into his hands. For me, that's comforting and reassuring. For me, that's humbling and restoring, and if I'm honest, in full reverence, for me, it's also a little scary. Because it has the power to be life-changing. There's another kind of fear, too. There is our own humanly fear. If we consider something like a scripture like Matthew 10 for a moment, in Matthew 10, Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, because they can't kill the soul. Instead, he said, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul. So what do you think? What do you think? Are we more likely to fear our own bodies or egos? Or are we more concerned about our heavenly souls? Zach Williams describes fear as a liar. He sings, fear presents when we feel like we're not good enough or when we're not right. Fear presents when we don't feel strong enough or when we don't feel worthy or we don't feel loved. Fear presents when we're told we're not beautiful enough or that we'll never be good enough. That's body or ego fear. That kind of fear steals our happiness. That kind of fear is a liar. On the other hand, the fear that inspires awe and holy trembling, that kind of fear can take our breath away when we worship. That kind of fear can stop us in our tracks right here, right now. Well, Willimon again writes, if we want to talk about fear, if we want to talk about fear, if we really think about it, think about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. From a human perspective, that's a little unsettling. Consider that Jesus didn't just offer some friendly suggestions for us. Jesus commanded us. Jesus said, go, baptize, and teach them to obey everything. He didn't say, you know, teach them what I suggested. He said, I command this. That might feel a little unnerving. We can love our neighbors, but we're supposed to love our enemies too. We tell our kids not to talk to strangers, and then Jesus says, welcome the strangers. And we come to church for comfort and safety and peace, and Jesus demands, follow me. Follow me to where the people are sick or broken or hurting or lost. And Jesus still wasn't done. Jesus said, you know what, if it's necessary, take up your cross and follow me. And the stronger our relationship with Christ is, the better we're able to push back against the fear. The better we're able to push back against the fear so that, if necessary, we can take up our cross and follow. Because when we're so in awe and love of God, it drives out our earthly fears. This perfect love can drive our thoughts and our actions. Proverbs chapter 1:7 says, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Wisdom begins with the respect and the holy awe for God. Is that our emergency alerts? Maybe something to fear? That's actually good news, right? It was. If we think about Amazing Grace, we know the song Amazing Grace? Do we know the song Amazing Grace? In Amazing Grace, we sing, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieves. Grace, that love of God in Jesus Christ that we can't earn. Grace, the power of God working in us to give us lives we can't have on our own. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. This is a holy, reverent, awesome fear of God. And God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace drives out my worldly fear. God's amazing grace reassures me that I'm good enough. Grace, my fear relieved. The perfect love of God allows us to truly worship God with everything we have. The perfect love of God, it allows us to do things that we would otherwise be too scared to do. Let's pray. Holy and awesome God, keep working on us. Help us to perfect the way we love you and the way we love the people around us. Help us. Help us to perfect the way that we receive your love. We come this morning not just to receive, but to give. We come to worship you. As we develop a healthy, whole, reverent fear of you, perfect us in love so we can push back. So we can push back against any fear that holds us back. You are God. You are our one and only God. We love you, we worship you, and we long for you to take hold of our lives. Amen. Friends, we don't have to be afraid. We have a God who loves us and pursues us and went, paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and me. As people living in God's grace, we are forgiven and we're reconnected to God through Jesus Christ. And so, as we enter this time of offering, it's a time to receive God's grace and to consider what part or how much of your life you might offer to God through time, talents, and treasures.